can say we've enjoyed the services thus far. I certainly can say amen to each message that we heard last night. It's rejoicing to our hearts to have the fellowship with our brethren and to have the privilege of coming in these conferences. We don't many times get the opportunity of attending the conferences, but we're glad that the Lord has given us this opportunity and thankful for Brother Titus having us come. And certainly we've enjoyed being here. This morning shall we turn to the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter, for our scripture lesson, beginning with the 18th verse, reading down including verse 22. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. From the 22nd verse this morning, we'd like to think about this kind of a subject from this verse of Scripture, seeing ye have purified your souls. Seeing, as the Apostle Peter says here, having known the Lord and having known the experience of grace. And I find this morning, to those that have had an experience because of the grace of God, it causes us to rejoice in these glorious truths with the Apostle Peter whenever that he exercised his belief and his sincere heart in believing these things, and then he wrote them in accordance with the Word. So he said, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. I believe this morning that we ought to purify our hearts and our souls today, first of all, by believing in God. So many today are not believing in God. They'll take everything else, traditions and customs of mankind, while they do not stop and consider the evaluation of believing in God. We, in this day and time, many times people say, well, we need a new method. We need a new message. But I find that if it was effectual in the days of Christ, in the days of the apostles, surely is effectual today. God hasn't changed his plan just for this modern age, or rather for this gap that so many are talking about. I have never found out what this gap is. But again, this morning we're grateful that by believing in God, we can see what the apostle is speaking of here in the letter that he is writing here in purifying our souls. Our hearts and lives needs to be pure and pure from all spots of sin. In the 6th chapter of the book of Paul's letter to the Romans and the 8th verse, we find the apostle Paul writing again to the hearts and lives of those. Then he says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him. Having died to sin, certainly we should live unto him. So many today say, well, how can I live for God? You don't live for God if you don't have God, first of all. you don't know the Lord, certainly you cannot have anything in your heart and in your life to cherish for the things of God. So if we be dead with Christ, let us so live, so order. In the book of 1 Peter 2 and verse 7, he said, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. So I believe this morning what the apostle again is saying to those that believe, he is precious. He's precious to me. The Lord saved my soul. He's become more precious day by day as I live. There's never a day that goes by but what I don't try to recognize him greater in my life, and greater in my ministry, and greater toward the love for mankind. This should be the promotion here. Then he said, if thou shalt believe with all thine heart and mind and soul and strength. So many today, I'm afraid, do not believe solely and trust in him. We ought to believe in God, trusting him. And having our souls purified, it'll cause us to put more confidence in the Lord. Many times we'll put confidence in the flesh. We'll turn aside the things of God and do not cherish the things of God, which the Lord is teaching us, that we which have believed and trusted in him should so walk in life. Then he tells us again in the book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, he said, and all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. We believe this morning that all who are saved are justified. They have been set aside. God justifies every believer. You can't justify yourself. We have many today trying to justify themselves by works, justify themselves by baptism, justify themselves by doing, and yet they leave God out of it. And I come back to say this morning, if we try to surround God and go away from God, we certainly have missed the joy and the privilege of it all. Amen. So seeing our hearts have been made pure, we ought to believe God with a fervent spirit. We ought to believe God with a continual thought in mind that God is not going to leave us. He never has. He never will. Amen. His promises are secure. Amen. He's enduring. And I believe this morning when Jesus returns, surely he'll find those that are faithful still continuing in the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. Amen. I'm glad this morning to say and to acknowledge that, and I believe that Jesus' church will still remain and still be here, still be constituting the same things that Jesus put into the church while he was here upon this earth. Jesus' church is not going to die. Beloved, these worldly organizations may, but Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. I'm glad that Jesus gave unto this church the commission, and that commission is to be carried out, as our brethren have already stated, and I believe today that we are a member of that kind of a church that Jesus instituted and will be here, which is the Bride of Christ. And I believe this morning that I'm a member of that church. I'm thankful today to know this. Now, he says the promises are to those that believe. The promises of God are only to the believer in Christ. It's not to the world, but it's to the believer. If thou shalt believe with all of thine heart, mind, and soul, and strength, thou shalt be saved. So it is to the believer. It is to those who have their souls purified. If your souls have not been washed in the blood of Christ, they have not been made whole. You do not know anything about this. No wonder today so many certainly do not know what the word is speaking of, because they have not had their evil consciences and their minds seared with the word of God. And certainly to have this morning, we can know and we can stand assured in these glorious truths. So he that believeth shall not be confounded. Then secondarily this morning we see that our souls being purified, that our faith and hope might be in God secure. I believe this morning that our faith is not in the world, our faith in the things which we do, but our faith should be in the Lord. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's God's plan. And then we have, as a result of this, our hope in him. Our trust is in God. our hope which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe this morning he's coming again. That hope is sure. That's sure. Even since the days that Jesus went away, he established this, and others have established this fact, that the surety of his hope of his return. In Acts 15 and verse 9, he tells us again that purifying their hearts by faith. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. That isn't in accordance with the world today, but God's plan this morning is that our hearts have been made pure by faith and by trust. It is a channel whereby that we can be saved. Then again in the book of Acts, the 26th chapter and the 18th verse, we read in the 26th chapter and the 18th verse. Notice again these verses of scripture as we hurriedly along. Acts 26 and verses 18. He says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. I believe this morning that what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here, in accordance with his word, that those which are sanctified by faith in him. Set apart. God not only saves us, but he sets us aside. Amen. Beloved, one of these days we'll be glorified. The hope of the believer today is waiting for the coming of the Lord in glory. We shall be changed from glory to glory. That's the purpose. That's the it all summed up in one thing this morning. And then in Paul's letter to Romans, the 4th chapter and verse 5, notice again, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Amen. But it is to those that believeth, his faith is counted for righteousness. That's leaving aside everything we do. That's giving praise to whom praise, and honor to whom honor, and glory to whom glory is due. So this morning we can look into this, those which are sanctified and set aside by faith, and then our faith is counted for righteousness because we have obtained the righteousness of Jesus in our salvation. I'm glad this morning that Jesus saves those that trust in him and believes in him. In the 5th chapter of Romans and verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have access this grace by faith through the grace that is given to us. Then we shall rejoice in the hope. Rejoice in the Lord. Are you rejoicing? Am I rejoicing? Many times people don't rejoice because they don't let the Lord cause that rejoicing to flow. That love should flow from heart to heart. Because of that love that surpasses everything in this life. Then he says in the book of 1 Corinthians, again we notice, in the 16th chapter and verses 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and the 13th verse, notice here again. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. I think, beloved, this is a great call unto us today that we need to be watching. We need to be standing alert and attention in the faith. Not wavering, not giving aside. Amen. Just because somebody don't believe like you do, that don't mean you're to give in to them. Amen. Stand on your convictions. Amen. You may have to stand alone. Many times we have. And again, we wondered, why? But we see it now. We understand it. And one of these days we'll understand it better by and by. Then we find again in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in the 3rd chapter and verse 2. Or verse 12 rather. Ephesians 3 and verse 12. Notice again. Said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have boldness not only those that are saved, but he said we have boldness in him and have access with that confidence. I'm glad this morning that we have confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ because of him. And because of that faith, we have entrusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then notice again, he teaches us here, or is saying unto us in our text, going back to the book of 1 Peter, the first chapter. He said, not only seeing you have purified your souls, but in obedience are obeying the truth. I wonder this morning, how many obeys the truth? So many today will obey everything else. They'll obey what man says. They'll abide by traditions, and they'll go by these things. But the Bible teaches us we are to obey the truth. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 22, he tells us this, to obey is to better than sacrifice. Amen. We are to obey God. It's better to obey. Many times we do not obey, and we take the chastening of the Lord. God chastens those whom he loves because he wishes his servants and his children to obey. His servants we are, and we are to obey him. So in this, we are placing confidence in God's word. It proves this, to obey the Lord and to keep his promises, because he's going to keep his promise. We are to keep the promise. We ought to keep the promise of God. May I say, because he has saved us. Keeping God's promise is to obey. Here in verse 14, he tells us in the book of 1 Peter, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. As obedient children. You know, I've often said, I think it's one of the greatest things to have my children to obey me or my voice. And how much more is it for God's children to obey his voice whenever that he speaks to them? God doesn't just speak to fill space. This word wasn't written just in order to occupy pages, but it is written for the edification of the Lord Jesus Christ and to edify his church. And so many times people today will just look at it and just flip the pages and say, well, that doesn't pertain to me. That doesn't apply to me. And they just take it for granted and go on. But the Bible says here we are to obey the truth. Having purified your souls, then obey. 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 There is much joy in obedience. I find there is greater joy in obedience than there is in chastisement. Beloved, because when we obey, there is joy, there is peace. Brother, you can lay down and sleep like a baby of a night. But when you turn aside the voice of the Lord and turn aside other things, then certainly that's something else. So as obedient children, God expects this of us. The Lord said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Beloved, the word, this holy word, this inspired word, this is God's inspired message, God speaking to us. So we are to obey the truth. So many have turned aside their ear from the truth to error. They'd rather receive everything else. So certainly that's what they get. In the book of James chapter 1 and verse 18, he said, of his own will beget he us through the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Amen. Beloved, if you'll obey the truth of God's word, you'll be the product that is expected of God in your life, the fruits of righteousness. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that wonderful this morning that we can see this, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures? So God's expecting this in obedience to his word, then we'll be the kind of a tree or the kind of fruit that is bearing for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter and the first verse. Notice here, if you will, in Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter and verse 1. Therefore, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. Do we believe that this morning?
Amen.
If it was true then, it's true today.
Amen.
Therefore, because of this, thou shalt do this. Beloved, if you love the Lord, your God, you'll keep His statutes. You'll keep His commandments.
Right.
His commandments are not grievous.
Amen. Amen.
Many times it may be the way that we begin to unfold them and unveil them. But if we keep His commandments, then certainly we will find it will be precious to our hearts. And He has asked us to do this always. And I find this morning it's a joy when we follow in the steps of the Lord. In the book of Romans chapter 6 and verses 16, again we find the word of the Lord speaking unto us through the Apostle Paul. He says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?" So as servants, we are to obey. God expects this of us. Does He expect, is He expecting too much of us? Certainly not. We are servants to obey, and His servants ye are to whom you obey. We are to obey Him, listen to Him, take counsel of Him, go to His Word, pray to Him, search the Scriptures, and so forth. So we find this morning this will bring joy into the hearts and into the lives of those which do so. In the book of Jeremiah, the 7th chapter and the 23rd verse, again we hear Jeremiah saying of old, "But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you."
Amen.
Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to pay the price? Many times folks will shirk and they will back up, but the Lord says here again that we are to obey His voice, for He is the Lord God of our lives. We are to keep His commandments and then to go on certainly unto the day of His coming again. So we are to obey through the gospel wherein that He has called us unto Himself. In the book of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and the 7th verse. Notice here that we are to obey, or rather it is through the obedience of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? So to those that obey not the gospel of God, then to them judgment must fall. To them judgment will be meted out in the day of God's wrath. And God's judgment is going to be enforced upon them. Then the Apostle Peter said here that we are to, seeing we have purified our souls in obedience unto His word, unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Not counterfeit, but genuine. Neither has been hypocritical. But brethren, today we need unfeigned love of the brethren. God's love in you won't cause you to try in striking at one another, but loving one another, not loving their ways. We ought to love one with a pure heart. Fervently. God's love in you will cause you to love God, His Word, His church, His pastor, and then also to keep His commandments in obedience to His Word. So we find so many times today there are those who are certainly not looking to Him and not with unfeigned love of the brethren. So we are to continue in that love. Seeing then, He says that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That love is endearing. That love is everlasting. It's a divine love. It doesn't mean that it starts and stops and quits forever, but it continues on. Many times we've heard those say, "Well, I love the Lord. I love the church. I love the pastor." And then they quit after a while. Makes you to wonder, don't you?
Amen.
Makes you to wonder. But again, God's love continues on and on. It is that of a perpetuity from the days of Christ. But again, this morning, this divine love that the Apostle Peter is speaking of here, through obedience of the truth, unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, constantly, day in and day out. It won't soon stop, but it'll just keep on promoting. It'll keep on, as the Bible teaches us. Notice again in the book of 1 John, the 4th chapter, and verses 15 through verses 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have excess, or that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We see in that this morning the love of God. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. He manifested that love. We've never understood why that he loved us, but he did love us with an everlasting love. And he'll love us even beyond what we expect or think, even because of our sinful condition. He loved us, not our ways, but he loved us. There was a love manifested in our behalf. In the book of 1 John 4 and verse 8, notice what he said here. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. So the person who doesn't love God this morning, it's a result that God's not manifested in his life. If you love God, you'll follow him. If you love God, you'll keep his commands. If you love God, there will be fear in your heart and in your life. I never knew anything about fearing God until first I began loving him. That's right. I love the Lord this morning because his love is manifested, his love is perfected, his love has been put into my life and put into my soul, being made pure through the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So seeing you have purified your hearts by this love, this divine love, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And may I say this morning, there is no ends to that love. Then through and by the new birth, being born again, certainly as the apostle put it here in his letter, as he was directing this letter to our hearts this morning, he said, seeing you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth and the Spirit, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with pure heart fervently, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's because of that seed that has been planted, incorruptible seed, the word of God. God saved us through and by the preaching and teaching of his word. God's plans this morning is to save those by and through the word of God. That's the incorruptible seed. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must experience a new birth. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So we need the spiritual birth. So it takes the word. It takes the seed. Must be planted, and so being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of an incorruptible by the word which liveth and abideth forever. It's God's word that abides in us today. So it's not of a corruptible estate, for the word of God abides forever. Even the heavens and the earth may be dissolved, but God's word will abide forever and forever. I'm glad there is no end to that. The fertility of the righteous seed springeth up into everlasting life. God doesn't save and then quit saving and start again. Amen. Many times people say, well, I'm just hoping to be saved in the end. God said in his word that he hath given to us eternal life. This life is in his Son. This is a promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life, even of them that believe upon his name. This is God's promise. Isn't it wonderful this morning that we have the promises of God, that we have the promise of salvation, and I don't hold on, but he holds on to me. Amen. He keeps me. And then we see that through and by his salvation and through saving us, he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise, waiting the day of redemption. No wonder he said, grieving not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed to the day of redemption. There was a spirit seal placed upon our hearts and souls when the Lord saved us. There is not enough devils. There is not enough dominions and powers in this world or the world to come can separate us from that love of Christ. Seeing you have purified your souls by obedience to the truth, through unfeigned love of the brethren, through the Holy Spirit. And yet Jesus said, and when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he shall teach you and show you all things to come. As the church was waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and yet again this morning when the Spirit of Christ comes into our lives and yet manifests these truths and manifests this morning to us that when he has come, then we are to be fervent in that spirit, longing and yearning for those things which the Lord teaches us here in his word. In the 12th chapter of Romans and verse 11, notice here again, Romans chapter 12 and verse 11, he says, not slothful in business, rather fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord. May I say this morning, we need to be fervent, constant in the Spirit, every day, every day. Not slothful in the work of the Lord or in the Lord's business, but let the Spirit be causing us to go out in doing his business, the will of God, in serving the Lord. Then Paul said, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and continuing instant in prayer. Are we willing to rejoice? Are we willing this morning to accept these promises of the Lord? In 1 Corinthians 2:10, he said, the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God, far beyond expectation of the mind. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. May I say this morning, there is no need for two or more spirits, is there? For the Spirit of the Lord is sufficient. The Spirit of the Lord is there. The Spirit of the Lord is prevalent this morning. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 6, while the letter killeth, the Spirit giveth life. There is life through the Spirit, and the Spirit giveth life. And yet this morning we are to yield to him. And then he says, the word which liveth and abideth forever and forever. I'm glad this morning that God's word, which lives and abides forever, that the Apostle Peter was speaking of in our in verse 23, he says here, but being born again, not of the corruptible seed, but the incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives or liveth and abideth forever. God's word abideth forever today. It's enduring. Other things may fail. Other things may come to a conclusion and to a dead end and to a halt. But God's word continues on and on and on. Enduring. Enduring. And so we're going to abide in these truths. We're going to abide in the word of God. And let the Spirit of God cause us to triumph over these things if we'll only listen to him and come to him. And surely we'll be blessed of the Lord. Many times we fail because we fail to let his Spirit have utterance right away in our life.
Amen.
Let us yield to him today. Let us turn to him in these days. And let the Spirit of God so deal with our hearts and our lives. Brother Titus.
Amen.